Good morning. Welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast, March 28th, 2024. This would be episode 120. Wow, 120 days. Is that a quarter? No, quarter is 90, right? So, this is a podcast by a dreamer for dreamers. I am a stand-up comedian, actor, and improviser, just documenting my journey as I seek to expand as a performer, as a comedian, and trying to figure out what this game is all about. And I just am sharing what I'm learning in real time, in the hopes that anybody else out there who has a crazy, audacious dream, perhaps, maybe, just maybe, something that I say or something that I'm experiencing or going through might resonate and might provide some guidance and or inspiration, or maybe a cautionary tale. So I'll tell you, yesterday was just a real bruiser of a day. I got hit pretty hard with some work stuff. So you know the phrase, don't quit your day job. I have not yet quit my day job, FYI. So you don't need to keep telling that to me, sarcastic internet commenters. So I've got a lot going on. Just in the day job, managing that. I'm very fortunate the job that I do have, because I do work home, I work remotely, I have a tremendous amount of autonomy, so that's a huge benefit. The other thing, though, that I'll start with the bad, and then it's not bad. I'll start with the not fun. So I've been dealing with this Reddit issue. So what had happened is last year I got this credit card to do a 0% APR debt transfer thing onto this credit card. And somehow, just through life and whatever, I missed the first payment, or I missed one payment on it. It was a 30-day late. So I get this 30-day late reported on my credit bureau. To the credit bureaus before I have an opportunity, before I really realize that something was off. As soon as I realized something was off, then of course I went and fixed it and paid up and got it on auto pay and everything, but I just didn't do that initially. And that one little slip of financial responsibility has just set off this chain reaction of financial purgatory that I can just barely even comprehend just how screwy this whole financial game is. It's like, oh, you have a 30-day late. You are now a leper, and we are just going to ostracize you from the financial community forever. It has just been a nightmare. So because of that 30-day late, of course, all my credits cord started dropping, and then all my credit card limits started dropping, and then I didn't realize it was dropping. I just knew I didn't even know I had the 30-day late. I just knew that Citibank was calling me, and so I called them back, and they're like, oh, you owe us money. I'm like, oh yeah, that credit card, well, let's get it set up. Yeah, thanks for letting me know, my bad. Should be noted that I have three other credit cards with Citibank that were all paid on full with auto pay, like months and months and months of flawless payment history. So I don't think this is a big deal. Well, it turns out it was a colossal deal. So earlier this year, I start trying to get some business financing for, I have an Amazon e-commerce store that I have been trying to build, and I have just hit so many roadblocks with that. I can't even begin to talk about what a pain in the rear it has been, but I'm just trying to get a functional e-commerce store with the supply line of inventory, and that ultimately, obviously, make sales. And then I make money at it. And everything that you can imagine has gone wrong. No, it's not true. I'm sure you can imagine. A lot of things have not gone wrong. A tornado did not rip through my house. Why did I bring that into the universe? Made it very difficult. So the one thing that I was trying to get business financing for was to try to get a line of credit to start buying inventory on consignment so that I can have a bunch of inventory for my store, sell it, pay everybody back, and start to build on the business. So I got involved with this finance guy who's really sharp. And he goes, oh, well, we're not going to be able to get you approved for anything because your credit score sucks. I'm going, that's weird. I've always had a really high credit score for like years and years and years. He goes, well, yeah, but you have this 30-day late. And I'm like, what? And that 30-day late, just one little minor blemish, has taken me from you're invited to the party to like get, you need to be taking the trash out and stay in the dumpster. And it has just gone from bad to worse. And so I've been working with this guy. And, you know, I tried, you know, writing the letters. And I tried calling the bank. I've called Citibank 3 or 4 times just to try to level with them. I've tried writing letters to the credit bureau. I've tried submitting to this government agency. And it's just coming back, nope, 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 nope. We're going to keep this 30-day. Nothing you can do about it. So I ended up hiring one of those credit repair guys who a friend of mine recommended, and he seems really sharp, and he seems very confident that he will be able to get the 30-day removed, so we'll see how that goes. The other thing, though, that I've been trying to do, which has just been incredibly stressful, is I have some high balances on some of these credit cards, and my finance guy said, this is a podcast about dreaming. This is a financial episode, everybody. I hope this is you're getting some value, because even though we have dreams, we also have bills to pay. So it is good to know that having a dream does not mean we're floating on clouds all day. We get to float on clouds part of the day. So anyway, the other problem with my credit report is I have some high balances on a couple of credit cards. And even though I'm paying on them, the high balance is bad. They want you to have, you know, no more than like 30% of the balance. Well, the problem is a couple of these credit cards I use as consolidation credit cards. And so I dumped a bunch of high interest rates onto the 0% introductory rates to try to save money. But then that ended up dinging me because even though I wasn't paying interest on it, now I have a high balance, which the financial institution also doesn't like. The machine, the algorithm. So now I've got these two things working against me. So my finance guy says, hey, we'll start. You just need to start paying down all these credit cards and try to get them at least under 30%, which given how much I have, how much debt I have, I'm going like, I don't have that kind of cash to just throw big gobs of cash at these high balance credit cards that were really consolidation credit cards. But I tried. So he's like, well, let's try to get to 80%. And I'm like, okay, I think I can do that. So I spent, of my own money, thousands of dollars to lower all of my balances under a certain threshold. And then what did these banks do? They go, oh, look it, there's all of this space here. But we don't like this guy because he's a financial leper. We're just going to lower all of his limits. So they took all of that money I spent and then just made it disappear in terms of the numbers. Because the number that we're looking at is the percentage of utilization. So like an example would be like, you know, if I have a credit card that's has a $15,000 limit and I have $15,000 balance, that's 100% utilized. That looks really bad. So, you know, that would be like, I want to give vague numbers because I don't actually want to reveal my financial picture. So let's say that I spent $5,000 and knocked it down to 10 grand. So now the utilization is whatever that is. What is that, like 75%, something like that? No, I guess it would be 66%. 10,000 out of 15,000, right? So now instead of it being 100% utilized, it's 66.6666 utilized. So that looks better to the credit report. But then what did the banks do? Oh, look it. We have a $5,000 gap in his balance here. We don't like this guy because he has a 30-day late. He has a low credit score. We don't like him. Now we can lower his balance. And they lowered all of my balances on all of the cards that I paid all of these thousands of dollars and then shot my utilization back up to 100% on all of them and then jacked my credit score even worse than when I started. So, yesterday, I pulled every financial resource that I could fathom and have been just moving money around. In Virginia, we plant seeds in the ground, we create. You just want to move our money around. This financial plan's an outrageous demand. It's too many damn pages for any one man to understand. Little Hamilton there for you. So that, I mean, it was just very arduous. I was just looking at every bank statement, every credit card account, every checking account, everywhere that I have money stashed away. How can I get money into accounts? How can I leverage here, whatever? How can I just start attacking these high utilization numbers? And ultimately, just pay down the debt. I mean, overall, it's like, even though the utilization is bad, it's like, well, it's good to like be aggressively knocking down as much of this debt as possible. And the hope is that my guy will be able to get the 30-day removed. I will be able to be aggressive enough on all these utilization numbers to just lower my overall debt and my balances, and then my credit score will jump up, and then I will be able to get more debt. All right. So that's what's going down, which was just a very frustrating day, and I've just been in the weeds on all of that. The really cool thing that happened, though, yesterday is me and my comedian friend Josh Novi, who was on the podcast last week, told me that he wants to start another podcast with me. And so we recorded our first episode today and had so much fun. It's a really cool idea. I love his concept. It's called Let's Have a Midlife Crisis. So episode one, we had another comedian friend who's a 40-something comedian who's also having a midlife crisis. And we just chatted with him, had a good conversation. And then we have a little caveat is he's a music improviser like me. And so we had a piano in there, and then I whipped over on the piano and we actually improvised a song about our guest, which is really, really fun. We might actually film some of the episodes here. So we are going to see how that goes. After the first episode, or after recording the episode, me and Josh went to lunch and had a really great conversation. Man, I got to tell you, I'm kind of getting my ego checked pretty hard. For those of you who follow the podcast, I talked to my good buddy Albert from high school a couple days ago. And then after recording the podcast with Josh Novi, he and I went to lunch. And the conversations that I'm having are really, really exposing some pretty, I don't want to say flawed, but I'm going to say less than effective thought patterns and belief systems, like the subconscious, you know, what is hardwired in my programming in terms of how I'm perceiving the world and myself in it. And, you know, and I have these dreams, and what do I actually believe about them, and how does that belief transfer into action or inaction? And I'm not gonna lie, team. I got a lot of work to do there. Like just talking to Josh and how successful he's been as a stand-up comedian. And the opportunities that he's getting and the things that he's making happen as a performer, it's like, wow. Okay. And you know, he doesn't spend a lot of time crying and whining about how hard it is to make it and why aren't our famous yet, and not that I whine and complain, but I definitely have some pretty flawed emotional attachments to some belief systems that I think are really hindering me. So I've really been diving into the whole psychology of me to really start to look at that and see what kind of adjustments I need to make and should be made. And so it's been good. I'm really grateful that I have good, solid people in my life who, for whatever reason, just like hanging out with me. They like something about me. Can't imagine what. And that they're willing to, even if they're not intending to, willing to just hold up a mirror and go like, hey, Paul, look at how you're talking. And what I mean, how I'm talking, I mean, look at the things that I'm saying and the belief that is behind those words and the assumptions. And yeah. I have had to really confront some demons that are pretty deep. Thought I got rid of all of them. Evidently, I didn't. So, I got rejuvenated. Went to lunch with Josh. Went back home. Did a bunch of work. Worked a ton on these, you know, this financial stuff. And then I went and went to dinner by myself. While at dinner, I ran into a very random acquaintance from like 20 years ago. He and I used to be in the big band at Mesa Community College in like 1999. After I graduated high school, I had a year at MCC in their music program, and he was a trumpet player. And I'm just at this restaurant, and he happens to recognize me. And it's the type of thing where I saw him, and I'm going like, I feel like I know that guy, but he looks totally different. He actually looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick, the old NFL quarterback. But he recognized me and kind of did the like, wait, I think. And then I was like, wait, I think. But it took me a while to like put it all together of who this guy was. And then once it was, I was like, oh, that's the trumpet player from the MCC big band from 20 years ago. And he and I, and he was there with a friend who is now the new band director of McClintock High School, where I went to high school and played in the band. How random is that? And so he and I ended up just sitting down and talking with him and his friend, and I was really curious about the McClintock band program, because that was such a huge and significant part of my high school career. It meant so much to me. And so my band director at the time, he was very iconic. He hugely influential on my life in so many ways. And now I'm like talking to his predecessor. Really blew my mind. Really a fascinating thing to just, I mean, how many band directors do you know? Just out there in the wild. And here I am just having a burger at my favorite burger joint in Tempe, Arizona. And in walks a trumpet player, buddy of mine from 20 years. I say buddy, like he and I actually never really hung out. I mean, we just knew each other from the band. but we weren't really tight or close or anything. And then, you know, I went on a Mormon mission after that year, and he ended up going to the, I mean, I didn't know any of this. I found all of this out last night after talking to me. He had gone into the Army and stuff. And then to be talking to the high school band director of my alma mater, just, it was really a fascinating conversation, and they were so cool. We had a really cool conversation, just catching up on life. And it really wasn't catching up on life. It's almost like we were actually getting to know each other, which was kind of interesting. It's like, I know you, but we didn't really know each other. We didn't talk or hang out 20 years ago. So, but we have some really interesting connections, he and I. He's also friends with my older brother, because my older brother is a professional trumpet player in town. So I have some connection to the local Phoenix musicians scene, because I was in that scene for a brief period of time in my life. Mostly I was just tagging along with my brother, because he was really talented and he's a good brother. And so he would get me gigs, although I did not have near his talent level. And so I was in on that community. So that was really cool. And again, really cool to just connect with my youth a little bit and talk to my high school band director's predecessor, which was really cool. But what I actually had intended on doing that last night, which I did end up doing right after I ended up talking to my friends there for about 20 minutes, was taking another stab at social media. And I was really inspired by Josh, and I just went, I gotta just try everything that I have already done and just try it again and just try to do it better. So, you know, I had done a 1 hour stand-up comedy special in Tucson back in November, and I got some pretty decent footage of my stand-up set, and I had cut up pretty much every joke out of that routine and had posted it online. And I really, out of those 60 some odd videos, I really only had about one video that moved the needle at all on TikTok, which got about 10,000 views, which, even though that's so much more than most of my videos get about 200, they never get out of TikTok jail. And actually, I'm not even sure you can get out of TikTok jail now with jail without paying, but so that was pretty discouraging. That it's like every joke that I said in that routine is not, there's not one of them that the algorithm or that the people who feed the algorithm like. That's a little discouraging. But then I just thought, well, maybe it has nothing to do with that. And maybe it just has to do with how I'm presenting the jokes and how I'm editing and how I'm cutting. And I thought back to the most viral stand-up video that I've ever posted to date on TikTok. I posted about 2 years ago, and it has about 80,000 views, which still is almost zero in TikTok numbers. I mean, you got to be cracking, you know, a million views of like per video to really even start to be like, oh yeah, online likes you. So 80,000 on one video is, I'm not even really in the dance yet. But that video significantly outperformed. Again, this is 2 years ago. I had posted a bunch of videos 2 years ago. And that video, again, I was getting a couple hundred. And then all of a sudden this one takes off to 80,000. And so when I went back and looked at it, I was like, how is this video different than all the other ones I posted? And I realized I had done a very specific editing strategy that was a total experiment when I did it. And aside from the fact that I am telling a different routine, so it is hard to know, like, was it just the routine, or is it the fact that on that one video, I edited it a little differently? So I pretty much determined I'm going to take all of these 60 videos that I've already posted and that none of them had really gotten out of TikTok purgatory. And I'm going to try editing them again with a little bit more of that, utilizing the same strategic idea that I had used on that video that went viral a couple years ago. And so just keep swimming, you know what I mean? Just keep trying stuff, keep improving, keep moving forward, and see what happens, you know? That's what I'm doing. So all good things, my friends. So I will leave you all alone. I hope your dreams are going well. You are finding the joy in the journey. You're navigating all of your challenges and difficulties with some optimism and a little faith. I'll leave on this. When I was driving to dinner tonight to go edit videos again, I decided that I'm taking myself a little too seriously. And I mean seriously in, you know, I mean, not that life can't be serious, but I was a little curmudgeonly. I was a little bitter. I was a little cynical and a little defeatist. I think that's a word. And I went, Paul, you got to change your attitude, man. Like, your attitude is not helping you get what you want. I'm like, I just got to be playful with this. And so I just went into editing, to re-editing this video that I've already posted, or this joke that I've already posted, and just went, this is just fun. This is fun to try to find another way to edit the same video. And the fact that I even have the resources to do that, that we live in a time that resource to where pretty much any human being can, if they choose, can present themselves online in whatever manner they choose. It's really a miracle. I mean, 30 years ago, the only way anybody would ever know who you were is if some gatekeeper, some major studio decided to put you in their TV show or decided to put you in their movie, or, you know, or you were the next hot band and some record producer decided to front the money to, you know, record an album and record a music video and then try to get your music video played on MTV and try to get your song played on the radio. A man in a really nice camper wants to play that thing you do on the radio. We're signing. We're all signing. That thing you do. And those days are gone. There were still gatekeepers, there's still major studios, but things have just changed so drastically to where it's like, no, anybody can put themselves online. Anybody can build a following. Anybody can build a brand. So I'm working on it, everybody. I'm working on my attitude adjustment, ego checks up the wazoo, and hopefully this will start to influence my behavior in a manner that will start to yield better results than what I have allowed myself to become accustomed to. And we'll see how that goes. All right, everybody. So let's have a little fun. Try to gamify it. Whatever it is that you're doing, don't treat it so heavy. It's like, it can be serious, but like fun serious. And try to tap into that sort of childlike joy and wonder of like, well, what if we play the game this way? What if we play tag and all of a sudden this random bottle cap that I found on the playground is now a laser beam? And when I point the laser beam, everybody freezes and we just all play. And so I'm trying to just think like, what if I'm just player with this stuff? And just make it a fun experiment. Hey, can I recut this exact same video that I posted 6 months ago that didn't get any traction? Can I take the same joke, change the look of it a little bit, change the editing, change the energy, change the flow, change the pacing of it, and have a different result? Let's find out. I don't know. I'll let you know tomorrow. All right, everybody. I will let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Support Green Comedy Podcast.
Don't know why I became German. I love you all so much. It is March 28th, 2024. This is episode 120. Let's go get those dreams. I love you all so much. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow.